This is Investor IQ on News Radio 570 WWNC.
Well, we're back. Thank you very much for sharing part of your morning with us. By the way, if you have any questions that you'd like me to cover on this time, feel free to shoot me an email. My email address is gwessel, that's W-E-S-S-E-L, at wesselinvestment.com, or you can just give me a call at 232-2000, and we'll try to address whatever issues you have on your mind. Before the break, we were talking about a study where people were put in a very dark room, and they were asked to try to express an opinion as to how far a couple of lights that were shown on a wall might have been. So, of course, the room was very dark, and the people in that room had no reference points, so they couldn't tell whether that light was 6 inches in front of their faces or whether it was 60 feet in front of their faces. But that didn't stop people from forming opinions. What the researchers found when they probed, how confident people were about their opinions was that they were actually very confident that the light was, 8 inches away or 35 feet away, even though they had no bearings whatsoever in the room. And the conclusion that you draw from that is that people have a strong tendency to confuse their beliefs or impose a belief system or a faith system with a series of reasons or their reasoning. So very oftentimes, people see relationships where none really exist. So it's kind of like staring at the clouds. You know, you might see things that really aren't there. And when it comes to investing, that really has been a problem for people because so oftentimes people will draw conclusions based on things that seem to be related that really are in no way related. It brings to mind the parable about the rooster crowing and it causing the sun to rise. Of course, it doesn't cause that. But in the investment world, there would be some number of investors who might think that it did, of course. So there are a number of other psychological traps that we see on a regular basis in our office. One of the most prominent is extrapolating past trends into the future. So investors will often assume that the direction of the market is currently going to continue moving in the same direction that it has been moving. If we draw an analogy to driving a car, it would be really very analogous to you driving your car while only looking in the rearview mirror. Of course, you would never do that, but when investors invest, so oftentimes they look to see what has been hot, and that's the primary factor that forms their basis for their next investment decision. It's kind of ironic because if we look back since March when the markets have begun to recover, now we're starting to see more of the smaller investors wanting to become more involved with the market. And it's extremely ironic because when the market was very low back in March, that is when the risk had been really, in essence, pulled out of the market. And now that prices are much higher, people feel much better about things, but there's much more risk in the market. So ironically, people who are trying to avoid risk, who may have gotten out of the market when it got low or when it went down, are now being induced back in at a high point, which is one of the reasons investors have a very difficult time buying low and selling high. They tend to do it just in the reverse order. So there are a number of other investment errors, errors of thinking that are very often made. CFA Institute, which is the organization that provides a primary credential for portfolio managers and securities analysts, has a whole website page listed to errors of thinking. One of the primary errors, according to the CFA Institute, is not knowing what kind of game you're playing. So, for instance, investing could be categorized as one of three games. It could be considered a negative-sum game or a zero-sum game or a positive-sum game. Let's just talk about that briefly. A negative-sum game is where the payout in the aggregate from the game is expected to be less than what's put into the pot. So if you went to the track to bet on a horse or if you play the lottery, that is a negative-sum game because the house is taking some significant share of what the stakes are. So, the payout is always going to be less than what the gate is. options in future trading, that's a negative sum game because you've got the expenses associated with clearing the trades. And you have, of course, your counterparty is going to be winning if you're losing. But if you add up the wins and the losses, it still comes out to a loss because you still have that drag of the commissions to make the trades and so on. So the lesson when you have a negative sum game is that you should expect to lose. As you play the game longer, you're going to most likely have a loss. If you play once, if you bet on one horse, of course you could win. But if you go to the horse track every weekend, chances are over time your betting slips are going to result in losses to you. A zero-sum game might be something like the friendly neighborhood poker game where 100% of the pot gets dispersed. Well, theoretically, if you're an average poker player, you could play that game forever, and over time, you would expect to have a return of exactly zero. It might be better or worse depending on your skills, but that's what you would expect. And in the aggregate, all of your neighborhood players, they would have, in the aggregate, an expected return or an actual return of zero. Now, if we look at the capital markets, specifically stocks and bonds and even real estate, we find that that is what is categorized as a positive sum game. That means for every position that you take as an investor, you would actually expect to have a positive return. Well, that's a very different game than a negative sum game. That means that unlike the parimutuel, where you'd want to specify your risk and choose one horse, what you would want to do in that case is make many investments because you might know that any particular investment could go awry, but in the aggregate, if things work out as they're anticipated to, you would say, well, some of these are going to work out better than I would have anticipated, while others will have blown up in my face. And in the aggregate, I will have made an expected return of you name the percent, 8 or 9% or 10% or whatever the long-term average is. So the lesson there is that when you are playing a positive sum game, the longer you play, the more of an expectation you would have of earning whatever that long-term rate is. So if stocks have generated, let's say, 10 to 12% over the last 7 decades or so, if you play that game for 3 months, you might get burned. But if you play for several decades, you would expect to have that return of maybe 8 or 10%. So anyway, we'll take another break. Thanks very much for tuning into WWNC this morning and sharing your time with me. We'll be back in just a moment.